morning. Welcome here in the name of our Savior, Christ, in Christ our Lord. As always, I count it a blessing and a privilege I've chosen a couple of those hymns directly, and I wanted to approach a subject this morning that is very universal in many ways, and yet very segregated in many ways, very powerful in many ways, and can be very weak in many ways as well. And that is about prayer. Prayer is very common, but there are many things that are contained in prayer and that our Lord does outline in His Scriptures or in His Holy Word. We have a God of praises. He is to be praised, He is to be adored, and He is to be worshipped. And we are thankful for our God. We're thankful for all things that he has given us and He has provided for us. And He also desires our communication. He desires our communication, and He commands our communication. Whether it be by the spoken word or by the desired or our thoughts directed to Him. And there are many scriptures that talk about it. We could be here for a long time just talking about the power of prayer. But there are many questions that we may have even about what prayer is all about, what it contains, who is it to. There are many people that pray today. There are many people that pray to many gods. And yet we know and the spoken word and the spirit and the power bears witness that there is one Lord and God, and His Son is Jesus Christ. But there are those that pray, there are many other gods out there, and there has been, so to speak, as far as people have created. And I say that because there are people that have created those to worship. And I'm not trying to say or would ever want to give the inference that there is any other God, because there is only our Lord, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And be very direct about that. And when I say other gods, man has always wanted to have something that he could either see or touch or taste or something of that manner in order to put his hands around. We see the example when we have the children of Israel that come out of Egypt, and they were directed by the power of the eternal God. When they were first, they were directed by the mighty hand of God. And what was the first thing that they did when God had directed them but to make something they could put their hands upon and to bow down in front of and worship? Didn't they? Man has wanted to have something that he could see and he could put his hands on. And our God is the light of a burning spirit. And we find many examples of this. And yet we find that the experience of the eternal God being manifested in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, to the form of flesh for the purpose of sacrifice for our very sins. And yes, they could put their hands upon Him. And they could touch Him. And there's those that doubted. And then He said, you come and touch me, and you know if I'm real. And there are those that He appeared to on this continent the same. He had them come forward. And you touch these wounds, and you see and know that I am real. that you may bear witness to all that you know, and for posterity's sake, know that I am real, and that I have come to you. And I have come to mankind, that they may be saved, that may believe. And it talks about faith. He said, blessed are those that have seen and believe, but more blessed are those that haven't seen, yet believe and know. And you know something? There are many that also seek for signs and for wonders, and want to know of things by a sign or a wonder or an angel or a mountain moving or so on. But is this faith? And it seems that the older that I get, the more that I embrace the gospel every day, I believe, as Scripture says, we need to exercise faith and belief in what we do not see, but accept to be real. And then God comes in behind and manifests proof in our lives. And I believe that to be true. And not only through His Word, but by experience. And He wants us to try Him out, to know, to experience for yourselves. Worship is about faith and believing what is real and worshiping in the Spirit. An experience. And each time of worship should be an experience, not a ritual. We may have certain format, how things we do. Talk about format, but experience. Each time it's a spiritual experience. And that's through the power of our God. Well, I'd like to read some scriptures this morning. And I'd like to look at Psalm in the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of the book of Psalms. And we're going to be using many books in the Bible for many reasons, because of different questions upon the subject of prayer we would like to address this morning. And the Book of Mormon. There are many precious things in there too that answer some questions for us. Different corners of that question of prayer. Because we basically find that there are about what is prayer, why is there prayer, what is the necessity of prayer, where may we pray, okay? Is it necessary? Is prayer necessary? Is there a wrong way to pray? You say, well, how could there be a wrong way to pray? Well, you know, there are some things that we find that are maybe not acceptable, or we find things that are maybe a wrong way to approach our Lord. Even to our words in prayer, the Scriptures talk about. Who do we pray to? Do you think about that? Who do we pray to? Very, very important thing. And you say, why in the world would I make such a statement? Who would we pray to? Well, as you were driving in here this morning, you may have noticed across the street, there's another denomination of sorts, not even Christian. Not trying to slam anybody, okay. There's power of choice in this world, and so on and so forth. But once again, there's the example, who are you praying to? And so, I'll let you read verses 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. He was praising him in the fact that he was coming to him in the morning. In the first part of the day, And there may be something to certainly to be said about that. You know? We have the beginning of the day, you know, with a sun rising again, a time of opportunity, chance, and decision, first laying your footprints out upon your day after a night's rest of different experiences, possibly. It's a very important time to direct it under prayer. Consecrate the day with thoughts already started out in prayer. The evening, we know, equally important, thanking the Lord for what did happen during that day and maybe what didn't happen that day. Isn't that true? Now he talks about, consider my meditation. We think upon many things, don't we? We think about a lot of things. We would like the Lord to help direct our thoughts, because we know out of our abundance of the heart cometh our thoughts and the pattern of our thinking. And what things we direct them upon in order to help formulate and make decisions. Consider my meditations. You know, are those things that you do think about and that you desire for, are they even righteous thoughts? Do we need to help the Lord to help to influence? And how does the Holy Spirit influence? Where does humbleness come from? It comes from the desires of our heart and our thoughts. Our thinking, doesn't it? To humble oneself, to direct yourself to humble or meekness. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King. We want that God would hear our prayers. We know He does. Now, there are many times when people, there are things that they do get themselves involved with, and the Lord says, you know, when your calamity comes, you know, I've warned you about this, that, and the other, and He says, I might not be able to hear and respond as quickly as you would like. Because there are things that people get themselves involved in, and there is a living repentance that needs to be felt. And so we find that how it is very, very important. And a lot of the Psalms were prayers. For many reasons, they were lifted up to the Lord. There were many times that there was real and present danger. And we find real and present danger in our lives too, don't we? We find real and present heartfelt desires, sorrows, anger. You know, anger. We've got to be careful about that too, don't we? That we help to quell, to quench anger. We don't want that to go on into sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Deal with it. Don't let it fuel. Because anger is something that can cause sin. And it's a cloud. It's like a sheet between you and your spiritual worship with your Lord. It's like that veil that you're setting up for a partition between you and the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ worked to abolish. And there are different types, and we've got to be careful about anger. That's one of those things, you know. So we've got to help the Lord to help us to direct our thoughts and our emotions. And we implore, and we cry out unto the Lord. And anger is just one of them. And with some of these emotions, and there's different types of people and how they handle and how their mentalities are. Especially when we get upset over things, you know. There are a couple different types of people in this world. And there are those that can take you get upset, you know. They may go over and kick a stump or something like that, and you know. And they're okay, and they go away, and they've diffused. They're okay. And they go on. And there are other types of people that the madder they are, the madder they get, and the madder they get, and the more they think about it, the more they are, the more fuel they add to the fire. And so that's why the Lord talks about, you know, take care of those things. And so we need to have our thoughts drawn out in prayer to Him for His power and His Spirit to direct our lives. It talks about in Proverbs, let the Lord direct your paths and direct your thoughts. That our ways are more in tune and knit to His ways. If we're not in tune with God's ways and our will is not in accordance with His, you've seen the vehicle out there that runs so rough because, you know, half the cylinders are firing and so on, and billowing white or blue or black smoke and not doing very well at all. Not going to get that person too far. That's much the same way. We want that we're firing on all cylinders with the Lord and having that thing run smoothly along with His course. Now, I'd like you to take into, actually, while we're here in Psalms, let's go over to Psalm 34. I'd like to read verses 15 through 19. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So we see a difference where someone is where they are, and they rather, just where the Lord had told the brother of Jared, He says, you know, my spirit will not always strive with man, or always work with man, because why? It's not that the Lord is not willing, but because we are weak, and the evil may get involved in whatever they're into, and they, like, their conscience does a flip-flop, and it's just like water flowing off a duck's back. And they don't know enough to turn to the Lord. They've been so engrossed in their ways that they've turned Him off. And their heart has become hardened. And so the face of the Lord is against them. But the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's why we see how that is so precious about the sacrifices of the Lord, of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You know, the Lord can work with you. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because what? Because the Lord directs you. The Lord fights for you. The Lord provides for you. And I'm always reminded many times how I know how He has cared for us and cared for my life and cared for my family. Provided for my family. Provided for you. Provided for your families. Just such as when Elijah sat by the brook, far away from Ahab as he could get, and Jezebel. During the time of dark and famine, it was prophesied of the Lord. There are times when the life of a prophet is held in the balance. And it is such where, you know, is he going to fear man or fear God? Is he going to risk his own life or lose his soul? Some think it'd be so great, you know, to be a prophet, but that should be very heavily weighed and careful. We've got to be careful what it is that we ask for. It's not that it is not precious. And life eternal beyond all things. But remember how things could be. Look at the life of the prophets. and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Alma and Amulek and Zizrim. But he sat by the brook and he was fed by the ravens for his very sustainment. Such as the children of Israel receiving manna from heaven. That he cares. He cares for you and he loves you. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cries. And then he made provision for Elijah. And he was led to a home where there was a widow woman and her son. And they had one meal left. And they said, then we will die. And he said, you provide for a prophet of the Lord, and the cruse of oil will not fail, and neither will the meal in the barrel. Will not fail. You step out in faith. You see where there's a meal, a handful of meal in the barrel, and you see where there's a little bit of cruise in the oil, and just like you said about faith, you know, what did she have to go on? What did she have to go on? But that man's word only. Did she have any idea who he was? I have no, that I'm not sure. But she stepped out into the arms of faith. And the cruse did not fail, and neither did the meal in the barrel. And they were taken care of. Matter of fact, Elijah came back to visit when her son was sick years later. Healed him. I'd like to turn, if you will, over to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Let's start at verse 33. And I'll read through verse 37. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So, you know, it's the driving mechanism for your soul, for your life, for your decision. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So what are the desires of your heart? What do you truly want? Where you spend a lot of your time, where you spend a lot of your money, where you make, and so on, will show is the evidence of what it is that you're about, where you believe, and where your desires are. It will show. It will be known. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto thee that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Why not use the true and the honest and sincere and loving hearts, the desires of your heart, to produce words of praise and prayer unto the one that can change things for you, for your good and his power. God can change things and does. God changed lives because God loves you. And God wants that you would be saved in his name of his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants that you would be saved. You know, he'd like to hear that you want to be saved too. Now we depend upon him. We love him. We have faith. You know, but he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. And so, I would like to take into turn in the Book of Mormon on page 194. So we heard about the desires of our heart. We heard how he takes and hears the cries of the righteous. about those that he's against. He told the children of Israel, who are his chosen people, he says, I will be slow to hear your cries. Why? Because they turned away from him onto something that they could put their hands upon. They went off into different nations, and they found these so-called other gods that those people had created, and they wanted something to put their hands upon. And so the Lord said, you know, if it weren't for a promise basically to your aunt, your father Abraham, I would have cast you off a long time ago. By every odds for every nation in the past that has just dissolved, Israel should have dissolved a long time ago. And so it's only been through God's divine will that they are preserved unto this day. Now, over into the Book of Mormon on page 194, and we found that Enos wasn't a righteous man, but he wanted to become a righteous man, and he wanted to seek after the Lord. He wanted his life changed. He wanted his life changed. And we find that in verse 5, I'd like to read there, my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him. Yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that it reached to the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away. That's what God can do for you, to bring peace to your soul. And we find in the Scripture it says that the sin and so on and the rebellion caused torment. You don't want torment. You want it replaced with peace and assurance. That God is that you're on God's side, and God is on your side. I mean, very simply, because remember, he says his face is against them that do iniquity. We want to say he is near to them that have a broken heart. Save the such who be of a contrite spirit. And how about we maintain? We would like to maintain that relationship with God, that contact with God, and that closeness with God, and that keeping in tune with God by communing with our Lord. I'd like to go over to page 651. I have to read from starting at verse 47. I give a very important and powerful example, even about things that we should pray for, and pray about. And we need to be praying for other people too. If we see somebody in peril, if we see someone facing temptation or bad decisions or so on, or making silly decisions, and you know they're going to be going out into the school of hard knocks, do we just sit back and say, you know, they deserve that, I'm just gonna sit back and laugh about it? And you know, that's the wrong thing to do. We ought to be praying for. Should they be reclaimed? You know, they could lose their life, they could lose their soul. Is that God's desire? No, he loves all people. We should love all people too. We should love them. Maybe they could get captured out of that snare. What did people think about Saul before he became Apostle Paul? What did they think about him? What did they think about him afterwards? A lot of them didn't believe him. It's the same one that used to kill our friends and family. But he was reclaimed. And he says, verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you be tempted by the devil and are led away captive by him." Watch and pray always to be captive. How about praying for your friends and your family? "And as I have prayed among you, even so shall you pray in my church among my people who do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light and have set an example for you." It's the words of Christ. "And it came to pass when Jesus had spoken these words to a disciple, he turned again to the multitude. He said, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation." Well, here's another real powerful word. For Satan desireth to have you. Yes, he does. He's the enemy to your very soul. He's the enemy to every soul that God has created. He's been the enemy to them. And he's also a liar, and he's also a cheat. He don't play fair, and he doesn't announce himself. He's not going to come knocking at the door and say, "Here I am, your trials are going to begin." You're going to say that. You're not going to appear in horns and tail in a red suit like people like to depict today or whatever. It's not going to happen. But his power is very real. But there will be a time. We were discussing this on Wednesday night. And there is going to be a time when he's going to be rendered powerless. His sword is going to be broken. And he's going to be chained and put in a pit. And Isaiah 14 talks about where you're going to walk by and say, "This is the man that is weak in the nation. He's going to be stripped of his power. He's going to be there for 1,000 years until he's let loose to tempt the nations." They say, "Is this the man that did weaken the nations?" Obviously a weakling, unless he has his power. Now, it says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." Okay, yes, absolutely. But don't go call him on. Do not call on temptation. Do not call on anger. Do not call on these other things. Don't ask for them. Don't call him on and say, "Here I am and come get me." There was a group of young people one time. They were traveling down the road, and they thought that they were all big and bad and mighty. And they said they thought that they were beyond being messed with, whatever, hurt, troubled. And they said, "Devil, come on, come get us. There's nothing you can do to us." And all of a sudden, the car stopped. The engine killed, and it would not start. And talking about a bunch of crying, yes, praying, just like a group of kitties that just got doused with water, because cats hate baths. They may have gotten a warning sign. Don't call them on. You're not to fear him, but do not call him on. Don't mistake what I say. Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is that of power and of a sound mind. And do not fear him. You fear the Lord. And that's the righteous fear. Do not fear him. The Lord's already defeated him at the foot of the cross. He's defeated foe. He's just being... he's walking around just like roaring as a lion. He wants to devour who he can. He'd like to lead and tempt and so on and lie and steal. But Jesus tells us to pray that we will not be led into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you. He draws and entices and lies and manipulates. That's why the Lord hates lying and he wants truth. Because the devil works by lies. The devil works by deceit. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, the Lord says. And the devil works by these devices to work unto the carnal nature of man. To the things that you would like or lust after or whatever that you'd like to use, whatever things or devices are at his call, beck and call to have you. "They may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father in my name." And here we get another piece of information, don't we? Who are you praying to? Jesus came manifesting the Father in all things, being His express image. And so He tells us to pray to the Father in His name. You must pray unto the Father in My name, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Now, it says believing that it, which is right, there are many things that we ask for, but there are many things that we have asked that we probably shouldn't have or haven't considered fully we should receive. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in My name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. Behold, you shall meet together often. You shall not forbid any man coming unto you and shall meet together, but suffer that they may come unto you and forbid them not. You shall pray for them and shall not cast them out, and so be they come unto you off. You shall pray for them unto the Father in My name, once again here. Therefore, hold up your light that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which you shall hold up, that which you have seen Me do. Behold, ye see that I have prayed unto the Father, and then ye all have witnessed, and ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather commanded that you should come unto Me, that ye might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world, and whosoever breaketh His commandment suffereth himself to be led into temptation. So when He's talking about those other people outside yourself, maybe outside your families, pray for them. Help to bring them into the flock of the Lord. If they maybe have come to the flock of the Lord, have strayed, help to reclaim them. Their souls are precious to Him and should be to you too. That is the Spirit of Christ, to have the desire to witness, to claim, and to help pull with that life rope. These are the words of the Master, absolutely. Over on page 655 in your Book of Mormon, verse 17. And this is 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 17. And it came to pass, He spake unto the multitude and commanded them they should kneel down again upon the earth, and also that His disciples should kneel down upon the earth. And it came to pass, when they did all knelt down upon the earth, He commanded His disciples that they should pray. When they began to pray, they did pray unto Jesus, calling on their Lord, their God. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, and went all the way off, and He bowed Himself to the earth, and He said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in Me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray Thee that Thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all of them that shall believe in their words. Father, Thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in Me, and Thou seest they believe in Me. And Thou seest they believe in Me because Thou hearest them, and they pray unto Me. And they pray unto Me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto Thee for them, and also for all those who shall believe on their words, that they may believe in Me, that I may be in them, as Thou, Father, art in Me, that we may be one. And it came to pass when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, He came to His disciples, and behold, they did still continue, without ceasing, to pray unto Him. And they did not multiply many words, for it was giving unto them what they should pray, and they were filled with desire. Now, we also find that in Romans 8, verse 26, talks about that the Spirit itself helps us with groanings and utterings, so that it helps us with our infirmities to know, to formulate what we could pray, what we should pray. We may have desires, and sometimes you're filled with the Spirit and you can't find the words. And so the Spirit itself helps us with our weaknesses. Verse 25 says, and it came to pass that Jesus beheld them, and they did pray unto Him, and His countenance did smile upon them, and the light of His countenance did shine upon them. And behold, they were as white as the countenance, and also the garments of Jesus. And behold, the witnesses thereof did exceed all the whiteness, or the whiteness thereof did exceed all the whiteness, yea, even it could be nothing upon the earth so white as the whiteness thereof. And Jesus said to them, pray on. Nevertheless, they did not cease to pray. And he turned himself to them again and went to lay off, and he bowed himself to the earth. And he prayed again unto the Father, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast purified these whom I have chosen because of their faith. And I pray for them, and also for them who shall believe on their words, that they may be purified in me through faith on their words, even as they are purified in me. Father, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me out of the world because of their faith, that they may be purified in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, and that I may be glorified in them. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he came again unto his disciples, and they did pray steadfastly, without ceasing unto him. And he did smile upon them, and behold, they were white, even as Jesus. And we find that a very precious experience. And we find that in the book of John, I believe it's about the 15th chapter, it talks about that if we will love the Father, that we will come to him, that person, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we will make our abode with them in your heart. And that's that comforter that Jesus was talking about. The presence of God, you know, and Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. Now, there's some references I would like to quote, and that we find in Matthew, in the 6th chapter, in the 15th, the 5th verse, that there, you say, is there a wrong way to pray? And it talks about there where Jesus said that to be seen of men. And there are, in Matthew 6:7, says that vain repetitions, even vain repetitions. Now, we just got through reading here a moment ago. It says they didn't even multiply words, but it was given to them what they should say. Desires of your heart. Now, we know there may be things that we standardly may ask for or thank the Lord for in our lives, but the Lord wants to know, you know, what we read in Psalms. He wants to know the meditations of your heart, that you're honestly thinking and feeling. And we know our lives change day by day, and experiences and decisions and needs and so on and so forth every day. Consider the meditations, my heart. On page 715 of the Book of Mormon, verses 38 through 41, we see the experience of the brother of Jared. Now, the reason I bring that up is that over 5,000 years ago, when he was direct, they were directed in order to build the boats to come over here, and they were led to the seashore. And the Lord chastised the brother Jared. He chastised him. Now remember, he was the one that was going to the Lord on behalf of the people, and Jared says, you know, to his brother, go inquire of the Lord. He was maybe a more humble, spiritual, maybe a meek man that was in tune with the Lord, but he had forgotten to go to the Lord in prayer, and to remember, to call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord chastised him. And he said, he chastised him for several hours. He says, my spirit will not always strive with man. So don't sin anymore. He equated that to sin, not remembering to come to him. He acquainted it with sin. Now check that one out. You know, that was page 718 in your Book of Mormon. And so we find where prayer, even though praying in our families, as Jesus talked about, pray in your families, that one another knows who it is that they owe their salvation and their allegiance to, and their sovereignty they give to the power of God, the Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ. We find the example of parents praying in front of their children, the children seeing this, and knowing who their parents depend upon for the very thread of life. How powerful is that? And the power of example. Because there's so many things. And so we also find that, you know, as Jesus was mentioning, pray to the Father in my name. And we know that there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. So that name is that we should be called at the last day. that as we have faith in the name of Jesus, that we are also, we repent in the name of Jesus, don't we? Calling upon the name of Jesus. We are baptized, you know, in the name of Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Jesus talked about the Comforter being a manifestation of His Spirit. And so all things are done. And so, and we find that it was that eternal sacrifice through Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ, and unto the Father, that we are made enough to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so, our prayers should be consecrated in the name of Jesus Christ. So we say, how powerful that very name is, but at the name of Jesus. And so, we should consider, and maybe we'll find ourselves, even myself, coming to our God a little more often in prayer.